Morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. As Steve mentioned just a second ago, James is not with us this morning. He asked me to fill in for him, and I'm going to give it my best shot, and we'll get through this together. Before we get to our lesson, I wanted to take this opportunity to just say thank you to the church here at Pleasant View. Thank you for the opportunity to get to stand here before you this morning and to preach to you. I got to thinking about it this morning. Susan and I have been members here for just over a year. And in that year's time, I have taught the adult class twice. I've given the invitation on the Sunday night, second Sunday night, twice. And I've led singing more than I ever have anywhere. And now I'm in the pulpit. And I've been given these opportunities because you all have asked me to do them. And I've said it before, I think the person that's teaching or preaching usually gets way more out of the lesson than those who are in the audience. The teacher has to prepare things to say, has to study. So you all have given me a great blessing by giving me the opportunity to stand here before you this morning. Thank you. Let's have a prayer and then we'll get to our lesson. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, thanking you for this day and the opportunities of it. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to be here together this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Father, for this church here at Pleasant View and for every member here and for the love that is shown and the encouragement one toward another. We pray, Father, that you will help that love to grow. We pray, Father, that we will always be living in accordance with your word. Father, we ask that you be with the lesson this morning. Help us to study your word with good and honest hearts, that we can apply the lesson to our lives and be better Christians in the future than past. Most of all, we're thankful, Father, for your son Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. It's in his name. When James asked me several weeks ago to take his spot this morning, I started thinking about all the different things that I could talk about, and I was having difficulty deciding on a subject, a topic to speak on. So I started thinking about all of the sermons that I've heard over my life and all the great preachers that I've heard. And I tried to pick out a sermon that really stuck in my mind. And that sermon was originally given by a man named Malcolm Hill. Brother Malcolm has since passed away due to complications with diabetes. But several years ago, he was the preacher at Northeast Congregation in Cookeville, where Susan grew up. Brother Malcolm, he had a very loud, deep voice that just rattled the walls when he preached. And he would always say things like, "Listen to me now, church. I'm speaking to you. Stay with me now." And he would say these phrases to keep you engaged and to make sure that you knew he was speaking directly to you. But there was one Sunday morning in particular that he come in and he didn't say those things. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, "Church, this morning I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the pews that you're sitting on." And he preached an entire sermon to the pews. And that really stuck in my mind. It was unusual, and it helped me to remember the points of his sermon. And this morning, I think these pews here at Pleasant View need a good preaching to. And that's what I'm going to try to do. So pews, listen up. There are a few things that you do a great job at. There are a few things that you need to be commended for. First of all, pews, you have perfect attendance. You're here every service. You never miss to go fishing, never stay at home because you're tired and watch TV. You're here without fail, and that's something that you need to be commended for. Secondly, pews, you are steadfast and unmovable. You know, the Bible teaches in several places that we should be steadfast, unmovable, rooted, and you pews are doing a wonderful job at that. Fact of the matter is, I believe you're bolted to the floor. It would take a great force to move you from where you are, and that's a good Bible quality that you should have. So good job. Thirdly, pews, you bear the burdens of Christians. The Bible teaches us also in several places that we should bear one another's burdens, and you pews do a great job of that. In fact, you're doing it right now. So good job. And last, pews, you never gossip or talk bad about other people. I've never seen you huddled together in a corner, whispering to one another, spreading rumors. You always keep to yourselves. That's something that's good. But pews, for every good quality that you have, it seems like you have a bad quality to go along with it. You pews, you never participate in the worship. I've never seen a one of you sing. You never pray. You never turn in your Bibles to scriptures when the preacher gives them out. You don't take the Lord's Supper or give. Pews need to work on participating in worship service. Pews, you never show any compassion or love. I've seen small children playing after church and one of them will fall and they'll bump their head on your hard surface and they'll be in front of you crying and you never show them any compassion. Never comfort them. Never show them love. Pews, you ought not do that. You ought to have compassion and love. Pews, you never spread the gospel. You're here every Sunday morning. That's great. You hear sermon after sermon. You hear lesson after lesson. But you never take it out into the world and share it with others. You need to do that. And lastly, pews, and probably this is your worst quality, you never respond to the gospel. Once again, you're here all the time, but you never have a response to the things that you hear. I've never seen a pew get baptized. I've never seen a pew ask for prayers. Pews, you have a lot of great qualities, but you have a lot of things you need to work on. You know, I think I've let the pews have it enough this morning. I think I'll spend the rest of the time talking to those of you sitting on the pews. I hope you all see the comedy in the lesson this morning. It's meant to be a little humorous, but it's also meant to get across a few really important points. You see, there are some qualities that these pews have that we as Christians need to possess also. And unfortunately, I think sometimes these lifeless pews do a better job than we do. Like these pews, we should have perfect attendance. Now, I understand that these pews never get sick. They don't go and visit other pews at other churches. But then again, like I said a few minutes ago, they never go fishing on Sunday. They don't stay at home when they're just too tired or they want to watch their favorite TV shows. What I'm talking about can be found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. When the Hebrew writer says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We should want to be here. See, these pews, they didn't make a choice to come here this morning. They're just here. We should want to make the choice to be here. We should not forsake the assembly. This is one of the commands that God has given us. And like these pews, we need to be here at every service. Like the pews, we should be steadfast and unmovable. Now, these pews are physically steadfast. Like I said earlier, they're bolted to the floor. You can go over and shake them, and they're not going anywhere. We should be spiritually steadfast. And we need to be spiritually steadfast because the world is constantly trying to move us. And I don't mean physically move us, I mean spiritually. They don't call it move either, they call it compromise. And they're trying to get us to compromise on things like same-sex marriage and abortion and how this world was created. We as Christians cannot compromise. We must be steadfast, we must be unmovable in our faith. This is how we defeat the devil. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." So how do we defeat the devil? We're steadfast in our faith. Like these pews are bolted to the floor, we're bolted to the truth, we're bolted to our faith in it. And that's how we can resist the devil. One more verse on this topic before we move on. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness cannot be moved." Like these pews, we need to be steadfast and unmovable. Like the pews, we should bear the burdens of others. And once again, these pews are physically bearing burdens. We need to do that spiritually. If you flip over to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that reads, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." These pews, like I said, they're physically bearing burdens. They're physically providing a service for us. We need to be doing that spiritually for others. We need to be there for people when they're going through hard times in their life. We need to be serving other people the way these pews are serving us. Another verse to drive this home is probably right there in the same opening in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." These pews provide us a great service, and like them, we need to be serving one another. Like the pews, we should never spread gossip. Now, these pews, they can't talk, but I've often wondered what they would say if they could. I wonder how much gossip these pews have overheard going on right here in this building. Church buildings all over the place. These pews, they don't gossip, and neither should we. You know, gossip can be very hurtful, not only to the person the gossip is about. I think we can all see how that's hurtful. If you're spreading a rumor about someone and that gets back to the person, it can be very hurtful to them. But it can also be very hurtful to your own soul if you're participating in it. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We need to be careful when we're talking with other people. We need to realize that the words we say are the same words that Jesus is going to judge us by on the judgment day. We don't need to be spreading rumors that we don't know if they're true or not. We don't need to be talking behind other people's backs. We need to be quiet and keep to ourselves. We should all be striving to be like the pews and possess these good qualities. But at the same time, there are several things that we need to do better than a lifeless pew. We should be participating in worship. These pews, they don't sing, they don't pray, they don't study their Bibles, they don't take the Lord's Supper, they don't give. They're here, but that's all. And sadly, I think there are some people out there that are like these pews. They're here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Wednesday, but they never participate. They don't sing, they don't pray, they don't get involved. And that's confusing to me, because like we looked at a second ago in Hebrews 10:25, God commands us to be here. He says, do not forsake the assembly. But He also commands us to do things like sing. Look in Colossians 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have our command to sing, and we could go through and we could look at verses just like this one that command us to study, to take the Lord's Supper, to give, to pray. If we're going to follow one command of God and be here, we need to follow all of His commands and be participating in the worship service. We should be better than these pews and have compassion and love. These pews are incapable of compassion and love, but we are. We are capable. In fact, compassion and love is the foundation that Christianity is built on. Look at what Jesus had to say in Matthew 22, verses 35 through 39. Here Jesus is answering a question that's given to him. And verse 35 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Love and compassion, caring for one another, and ultimately loving God to do His commandments. That's what Christianity is based on. These pews are not capable of that. We are. And we should be having love for one another. God. We should be better than these pews, and we should be telling others about Jesus. These pews, they can't talk. And like these pews, a lot of you are here all the time to hear sermons and lessons taught from this very spot. But are we taking them out into the world with us and spreading the gospel, teaching them to other people? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, of course known as the Great Commission. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Even if these pews can't go to the world, they're stuck here. And even if they could, they can't talk. But we can go and we can talk. And should be. We'll be following this command that Jesus gave us right here and spreading the gospel that we've been taught. To be better than these lifeless pews. And finally, and probably most importantly, we should be better than these lifeless pews, and we should respond to the gospel. The pews hear sermon after sermon after sermon. Fortunately, there are some people that are that same way. These pews will never make the choice to obey. You can. You can make the choice to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can make the choice to believe that the Bible is God's inspired word and gives us instruction on how to live. You can make the choice to repent of your sins, to turn from them. You can make the choice to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And you can make the choice to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the church. You can make that choice where these pews, you can have a response to the gospel. Now these pews, they have no need of prayers. Some of you might. Some of you that have already been baptized, you might be going through a struggle in your life and need the prayers of the church. You can make that choice and respond to the gospel this morning. I hope this sermon sticks in your mind like it has stuck. But more than that, I hope that you all share these good qualities with the pews, like having good attendance, being steadfast and unmovable. I hope you bear the burdens of one another, and I hope you don't participate in gossip. And I hope that you commit to be better than these lifeless pews. Participate in worship. Have compassion and love for one another. Spread the word. And most of all, if you need to respond, I hope that you will do it this morning.